Red and green. Green and red. Those are the traditional colors of secular Christmas. And we talked about the origin and all of that 2 weeks ago. But for the true meaning of Christmas, I like to suggest that God had something else in mind. In the symbolic colors of Christmas being white, purple, red, and blue. Why? Well, I hope you remember from Exodus 26, when God gave instructions to Moses to build the tabernacle, he gave one instruction that was to prepare some white linen curtains decorated with yarn of purple, red, and blue colors. And among other things, those symbolic colors were used in the curtains in the tabernacle to celebrate special places. And in order to get to God, one had to pass through those curtains the way we pass through Jesus Christ to come to God the Father. Now, we've explored the symbolism of purple and white over the past 2 weeks, and we have loosely connected them to the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, respectively. And today, we're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke and to the symbolic color of red. Now, red is the most tremendously significant color in the Bible. Commentators say that it is the most important of all of the symbolic colors. Whether that's true or not, it had significant representation in the Bible, and I'm going to begin with a story from the book of Genesis. Now, you may ask me why I'm starting with the first book of the Bible when it's an Advent sermon. Well, everything begins with Genesis. I'm in Genesis 1, verse 26. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image." The Hebrew word for man is Adam, and we pronounce it Adam. The literal meaning of the word Adam is ruddy. If you look up the word ruddy in the dictionary, it means having a healthy red color. So, Adam really means ruddy or red. Adam rebelled. He ate of the forbidden fruit and he ushered in the fall of mankind, and therefore all of sin could be associated with that color red. And yes, it also is associated with the birth of Jesus Christ, and we'll get there as we go. This is also from the first book of the Bible, Genesis 25, beginning in verse 21. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the other will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. And after this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. And these brothers, as you know, were rivals. Even during their birth, they were rivals. And their birth foreshadowed the rising hatred for God's people. And just a few verses later, we read this in Genesis 25, beginning in verse 29. "Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." And that is why he is also called Edom. And the name Edom literally means red. Esau became the founder of Edom. And in Psalm 83, Edom is the first country listed among the kingdoms that wanted to destroy Israel. So red can be a symbol of sin and hatred and animosity in the Bible. Now, let's move to the Gospel of Luke. And Luke gives us more information about the incarnation, the Christmas event, the coming of Jesus Christ, the first advent, than any of the other gospel writers. As you know, Luke was a physician. And that helps explain why he said in chapter 1, verse 3, "I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning. It seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you." And that's one of the reasons that most scholars just treasure the Gospel of Luke, because of his care in research. Now, before Luke comes to the birth of Jesus Christ, he tells us about the miraculous birth of John the Baptist. Do you remember last week that Mark started his gospel with John the Baptist? And here is one of the things that Luke tells us about John the Baptist in chapter 1, verse 80. "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel." Now, if you were to travel today into the Negev desert in the southern part of Israel, you would see that those mountainous rocks there are almost completely red. And if you were to go to the southernmost tip of the country of Israel, you would find it touching the Red Sea. The Hebrews were delivered by passing through the waters of the Red Sea. And then they wandered in the Red Negev desert before they were delivered again into the Promised Land. Red is a tremendous color of significance in God's word, and it all began with ruddy Adam. So what more can we say about the color red? Well, this, it's the color of blood. And back to the book of Genesis we go again. Genesis 4, beginning in verse 9. "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is your brother Abel?' 'I don't know,' he replied. 'Am I my brother's keeper?' The Lord said, 'What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground.'" That is the first mention of blood in the Bible. We won't go into all the details about the river Nile being turned blood red. We won't go into all the details about blood being placed on the door frames of the houses of the Hebrews in Egypt on the night of the Passover. We won't go into all the details about the blood of Jewish circumcision as a sign of the covenant. Nor will we develop the rich symbolism of blood sacrifice or the sprinkling of blood. We could go on and on, but you get the idea. The color red is of tremendous significance in the entire Bible as a rich symbolism, as is blood. And by the way, is blood actually red? Yes. When it comes into contact with oxygen, it becomes a brighter color of red. When it is dried and spent, it becomes a much darker shade of red. And all of that will be significant as we continue here. Right now, I want to look at another word, scarlet. Yet a different shade of red. Isaiah 1:18. We touched on this last week when the color was white. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red, like crimson, they shall be like wool. Scarlet is a rich, vibrant, yet darker shade of the color red. And it is a synonym for the color crimson. When God told Moses to make those curtains in the tabernacle and use certain colors of yarn, when he talked about red yarn, the literal word he used was scarlet. And the root word in Hebrew for scarlet is the same root word for the word worm. Though your sins are like worms, they shall be as white as snow. That is God's promise. Hallelujah. And it's promised through the red blood of Jesus Christ. Now, let's come to the first advent, the first coming, the first Christmas, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Dr. Luke is the one who gave us the wonderful story of the shepherds and the angels. Luke 2, verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior, Deliverer, has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, the promised Messiah. When the Nile River turned to blood, it foreshadowed the blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Deliverer, painted in red. When God instructed the Hebrews to put blood over the doorpost of their homes on the night of Passover so that the angel of death would not touch their families, it foreshadowed the mission of Jesus Christ on Calvary, painted in red. When God parted the Red Sea to deliver his people, it foreshadowed the one who delivers you and me from eternal damnation, painted in red. When God's people passed through the red valleys of the Negev desert and all of those mountains, and they entered into the promised land, it foreshadowed the promise of passing from this life into eternal life that you have through the red blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Dr. Luke says, I bring you good news of great joy. Why? Because now your sins, though they be like worms devouring your soul, shall be made white as snow, and you are redeemed. Red. The red of your life can become white. Your sin through Adam, red, is forgiven through the blood of the second Adam. Red to white, colors of Christmas, of salvation. Now, 2 weeks ago, when we talked about the color purple, we said that it represented royalty and wealth and authority. And we talked about the fact that the soldiers placed a purple robe on Jesus Christ when they mocked him and they beat him and they placed a crown of thorns on his head. And all that is documented for us in the Gospels of Mark in chapter 15 and in John in chapter 19. In Matthew, however, there seems to be a difference. It says in Matthew 27, verse 28, they stripped him and they put a scarlet robe on him. How do we deal with one writer saying it was a purple robe and another writer saying it was a scarlet robe? Some critics say that this is a contradiction in the Bible. Well, perhaps Dr. Luke will clear it up for us. Nope. He skips that story. Well, listen. One can only get excited about that if one is trying to discredit the Word of God. The fact is that there are many shades of red and purple, as we said earlier. Remember, I said it would be significant later. And that one person's brain can interpret something as red, while another person's brain can interpret it as purple. Who knows? Maybe they put a dark shade of maroon robe on him. We don't know. But even more helpful than all of that is the fact that an ancient historian, Appian's History of Roman Civil Wars, which was written just 1 year after Jesus Christ was here, used the words red and purple interchangeably. Why? Because both purple robes and red robes were worn by royalty. Both were symbolic of power and wealth and luxury. Our primary focus should be on this symbolism. The Roman soldiers were mocking the King of Kings. Jesus Christ was born a king. And yet in total humility, Jesus Christ was crucified as a king. Yet in total humility. Here is what is important. How do you respond to that? You are living in the red desert of this troubled world right now. And you are longing for the Red Sea of your life to part and to take you to the promised land, to the other side, where heaven is waiting. To get there, however, you have a choice. And you have to pass through the curtain of white, of purple, of red, of blue. You can mock the royalty of Jesus Christ as your king, or you can embrace him as your King of Kings, as your Lord of Lords. If you choose to mock him, then you belong to Satan. Speaking of him, the devil, there is a vivid, vivid passage in the book of Revelation. You talk about symbolism. This is the book of symbolism. Listen to this. This is Revelation 12, beginning in verse 1. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 7 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. Don't be fooled by the humility of the manger. In Bethlehem, Jesus Christ is King. He will rule forever and ever. Don't be fooled by the imposing red dragon, the devil. Satan will never rule, and he will go into eternal fire. Amen. Now, I'll bet you've heard this expression, "I was so mad that I could see red." Do you know where that expression came from? Most people think that it was born because of the belief that the color red makes bulls angry. That's not true. Bulls are colorblind. That expression actually refers to the physical phenomenon of increased blood flow to our eyes when one is out of control with anger. Out of control. And in case you don't already know this, that's not normal. And I will tell you who experiences that level of anger more than anyone else. The devil. When he sees what the red blood of Jesus Christ has done for you, it makes him mad as hell, and he sees red. When you, brothers and sisters, receive the Son of God for who he is, he promises to bring you through your Red Sea to your promised land. Hallelujah. The King of Kings, purple, shed his blood, red, so that you may be forgiven, white. The colors of Christmas. And next week on Christmas Sunday, we will explore why God included the color blue. In a moment, we're going to sing a hymn by Emily Elliott, who was inspired by Dr. Luke. When he wrote in chapter 2, verse 7, she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No room for him. Here is what Emily Elliott wrote. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home, there was found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Can you say that? Can you sing that with integrity? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your deliverance from the desert of this life, for the promise of eternity with you. And may we open our hearts anew to you now and receive your gift of love. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.